podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Good evening and welcome back to another live episode of Red Tinted Glasses here on the Red Tinted Glasses YouTube channel. It is episode 250. And yes, I'm all alone for those of you tuning in on YouTube initially, but fear not, maniacs of the world. I know you're tuning in ready to go. Phil Mayer will be joining me in just a second. Those of you that are tuning in on audio may notice a difference because over the international break, whilst the club haven't done any signing in terms of a new manager, we have signed a deal with the Sports Social podcast. So if you are listening on audio, you might have heard a couple of adverts pre-episode and then you might hear some at the end. There will be an advert placed around about the 20 minute, half an hour mark, but it'll be at a suitable point. So I won't stop speaking halfway through and the advert will be in, but it's given us a chance to grow our podcast on an audio platform, as well as seeing such a good growth here on YouTube, as we're just a couple of subscribers away from 1,900 as well. But without further ado, I will introduce the man many are here to see tonight and have been longing to see back, Phil Mayer. Welcome back to Red Tinted Glasses, the able deputy turned.
How is it going, Glenn? How's it going?
Good, thank you very much. How are you?
I'm all right here to please the mayor and the axe as ever.
Good. I'm sure they'll be delighted to have you back on the show. On tonight's show, we will look back at the events at Fir Park as the Dons won a crucial 3 points pre-international break. The advanced stages of that managerial appointment keep dragging on, so we'll discuss the latest around that. And of course, the big game coming up this weekend at Pittodrie's Ross County visit. Phil, as I said, big 3 points for Aberdeen pre-international break, 1-0 win, controversy in there as well, which I'm sure we'll come on to. But just how important could that 3 points prove to be?
I think it was massively needed. I mean, it feels like it's an age ago now, despite it only being the other weekend. But yeah, I think in the grand scheme of things, it's something we need in our league form. It's been abysmal. I think we've said it for majority of the season. We sort of, I guess you could say, fluked our way at the 3 points, or at least that's what Motherwell fans would like us to believe. But yeah, no, it felt good to finally get 3 points in.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, it wasn't pretty. And, you know, we speak about the rub of the green not falling Aberdeen's way. Certainly looked at maybe been favouring us in the Scottish Cup, but it's about time it favoured in the league. And I think the fact that Ross County picked up an impressive win as well made our win so much more important as well, ahead of obviously what's turning out to be a huge game this weekend.
Yeah, well, I think that was one of the big things. I mean, we've sort of thrown away points when results have gone our way. So it's quite nice for us to pick up points, you know, to sort of keep off the pressure when other teams' results are going the way they need them to. So yeah, overall, it just feels nice to actually feel like we've got a couple wins under our belt, like in a row.
Yeah.
It's just a difference.
I suppose for Peter Leaven, continues his unbeaten reign as Aberdeen interim manager.
We're going to be in the same position as Robson again, aren't we? He's going to pull off a miraculous end to the season. We're going to have never interviewed anyone and we'll be in the same position as we were.
Well, I suppose the cynics will say, or certainly Willie Miller would say, is why didn't we just stick with him instead of spunking all that money on Neil Warnock?
Well, it's one of those things. I don't think you could have, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing. If we knew that the run under Warnock wasn't going to improve, no one can really predict whether it was going to be the same under Leaven. So at least it gave us something. You know, we got a little bit of Twitter fun for a little minute.
Takeaways from the Motherwell game. I don't spend too much time looking back on a game that maybe some people have already forgotten about. Leighton Clarkson getting a goal, I'm sure that'll do his confidence the world of good. Boy Amiowski again involved in the build-up, probably for his confidence. Unlucky with the shot coming in off the post, but of course the international breaks provided Boyan the chance to get on the score sheet for his national team, so I'm sure he'll be coming back to Cormac Park full of confidence, raring to go this weekend.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, no, like you say, it was good to see Leighton getting a goal. I think he's slowly coming more into the player that we know him to be. I think it's taken him a while to get to that point. I think, you know, the fact that he is maybe getting the freedom to play a little bit further forward these days under the new sort of system. Well, not even new system, but just changing that sort of five in the midfield seems to be suiting him a bit more. Yeah, like you say, it'd be nice to see Bojan getting back on the score sheet. I think that's what, seven? Is that seven games without a goal from now, or six?
I think it's since certainly since feels like since Neil Warnock said he could get 30 goals a season, he hasn't
Yeah,
scored.
yeah. But I think I did hear. I think it was whoever was on the Red TV commentary. I think was saying that was his longest, like equaled his longest goal drought for us. So I think it was six or seven games, and it's been nice to see him get back on the score sheet. Hopefully against County, but it was nice to also see him. Same fire went in for Macedonia the other day.
Good to see that. You'll keep me right. Scott McLennan saying I'm not counting Dundee away because of course Peter Leaven lost that game, so his run is not unbeaten as interim. But I guess another key takeaway from the game pre-international would have been the fact that we kept a clean sheet, mainly thanks to VAR, of course. But I'm sure something that not only Kyle Roos will take forward, but Angus McDonald and Stephen Gartman as well, because there's been question marks over both of them as individuals, as a partnership, but these things take time, and a clean sheet can only boost their confidence.
Definitely. I mean, I think it's been one of our wobbliest points this season is just how, not even just the fact we're shipping goals, I think it's the fact we're shipping cheap goals for the most part. So it was quite nice to see us somewhat have a little bit of organisation at the back. So yeah, hopefully, like I say, I mean, I think Roos still has a long way to go to get back up in the estimations of a lot of fans. Hopefully this sort of gives him a little more confidence to not be as flappy as he has been of late. And so same with Gartman as well. I mean, if I ever see him get stuck under a long ball again, I might pull my hair out and resemble you a little bit, Glenn.
I say, at least you can do that. I've totally forgot what I was about to say now. Oh, that's going to annoy me. This is the joys of doing a live podcast. Looking ahead to the managerial. Oh no, I know what I was going to say now. In terms of the Motherwell disallowed goal, thoughts around that in general, I guess from an Aberdeen point of view, we'll take it and run. Just once again highlighting the inconsistency of VAR and the decisions, and I guess obviously from an Aberdeen point of view, being an Aberdeen podcast, we're delighted that that decision and the Graham Shinnie decision kind of goes in our favour. Any complaints from you as a general Scottish football fan at the decision to rule out Motherwell's equaliser and then the Shinnie handball at the end? Because for me, the one at the end, I certainly feel that. I feel we pretty much got away with both, actually.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things, you know, if you'll pardon the pun, if I'm taking my red tinted glasses off, will you? I think, you know, if I'm just looking at it objectively, and if I was a, you know, like I say, a fan of Motherwell, you'd be raging. But it's one of those things where so many of them have kind of gone against us this season. You know, we've had handballs not given, we've had questionable offside goals, and you know, this, that, and the next thing that. It's almost law of averages that we're bound to have, you know, a controversial goal sort of chalked off in our benefit. But yeah, I think, yeah, objectively looking at it, I think you're right in the thing you're saying, but sort of got away with both of them. I mean, like you say, it's the inconsistency that's the frustrating thing. I mean, obviously not for us in this scenario, but in general, that's the problem with VAR that everybody's brought up this season is that. You know, you wouldn't mind if it was the case for every single team, but it just seems to be that it's for a select few, really.
And I think as Kettlewell pointed out, the fact that, you know, it wasn't a handball off the player that scored the goal was the biggest frustration, because they've been on the receiving end of a very similar decision against, of course, Aberdeen's opponents this weekend. And it'll be interesting to see if we are the subject of any VAR decision in what is going to be a huge game for both sides coming into this weekend. And this is when it becomes season defining, literally, to clubs, these sort of decisions. But we were told When Neil Warnock walked away from the club, walked away, resigned, stepped aside, whatever adjective you want to choose. The wheels fell off. That an appointment was imminent. And I think, quote unquote, from the club statement, that talks were at an advanced stage. But we're no further forward in seeing an appointment at the club. The club, whether it's to be believed or not, maybe have missed out on a couple of opportunities. Managers have turned the club down. It depends what rumour you want to believe it at this stage. One rumour, of course, that seems to be gaining momentum all the more, especially with Northern Ireland being in Scotland, is, of course, Michael O'Neill. What's your thoughts on Michael O'Neill as a potential new Aberdeen manager? I think that sums it up pretty well.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say. I mean, I can't say I've watched Northern Ireland too much to even know what his style of football is. Just off the bat of it, I think because we all kind of whipped ourselves up into a frenzy of who it could be, it seems like it's a little bit of a sort of meh option. I've no doubts that if he came in and started romping teams 5-0, I would quickly change my tune. But yeah, I think it's just one of those things where I think I'm in the camp of hopefully bringing in somebody that's really got nothing to do with sort of British or Scottish football, as much as I think it was Richard Gordon was coming out and saying that they had to have a knowledge of the Scottish game, or they had to be a Scotsman, and then proceeded to pitch Neil Lennon and Stephen Robinson and I can't remember, Tony Docherty, I think, was the third one.
We certainly seem to be liking the Northern Irish link with of course, yeah. O'Neill, Robinson and Lennon right now. I guess, obviously, comment on screen for those watching. Paul Donaldson saying that he's okay with O'Neill except for a couple of things. Number one is, can we afford to pay off the Northern Ireland Football Association? And he says today in his press conference as well that when he left Northern Ireland for Stoke, the Irish FA were very well compensated. And I know from speaking to a couple of people that the compensation package that Northern Ireland are looking for has been something that has initially put off the club. Whether that's something that we've gone back at and are bargaining on, negotiating with, I don't know. But having spent so much money on Neil Warnock to fail ultimately, can we afford a second big payout for a manager that we don't know what will bring? Paul also goes on to say, of course, our past record of appointing former players as managers hasn't also been great either. And I know it's been picked up as well, a lot of Michael O'Neill's personal issues that come as well. I'm not going to try and go down and shame him for stuff he's done. You know, the drink driving is obviously a concern to some fans, and you know, the ethos matching that up with the club as well. Would any of the kind of off the field issues for you affect our managerial choice?
It depends, really. I mean, like we're sort of mentioning with O'Neill here, I think the compensation is the biggest one. You know, the money that, you know, international managers are on, and they're usually on pretty lengthy deals, especially when they've sort of had the success in Northern Ireland that he's had, would be a pretty big buyout. And if we're willing to spend that buyout, it's a little bit worrying, because, I mean, we're almost definitely going to have a big turnover again in the summer. You know, we're going to be trying to build a new squad almost effectively, especially, you know, if we do end up selling some of our big hitters like Miowski and Duke and whatnot. So it is a bit of a concern. You know, as much as we want to be spending a good bit on a manager to sort of utilise the money that we're spending on the pitch, I think it's something, especially after the Warnock saga, that we've kind of got to be a little bit wary of. Mm-hmm. But as for like personal issues, you know, I mean, it's the same way as people have often used the jail stick to beat down David Martindale. You know, you know, there's only so much you can hold over somebody at the end of the day. I mean, we're all football fans who, when results are going well, will quickly forget it. It'll be when results are going bad that we'll point at them as a factor. So, yeah, no, wouldn't bother me.
Yeah, and I suppose I was kind of having this discussion with Stewie Walker on Twitter and a couple of other people, and he said, you know, at the end of the day, if the results on the pitch are positive, then people aren't really going to care about what he's done previously. It'll only be brought up when things aren't going right. I suppose Andy Wright makes the comment about his current record at Northern Ireland. He says, hasn't he lost nearly every game? No thanks for me. And again, that's something else. Listening to his pre-match press conference for the game tomorrow night at Hampden, said, you know, he knows that his first 12 months in this current spell in charge of Northern Ireland has not been great, and things will need to improve for the second 12 months. So it's also a youthful squad he's got currently at Northern Ireland. Again, a huge overhaul from some of the past gone eras of Northern Irish football. So he's got used to working with younger players, but again, for me, that record is something that puts me off personally. And for me, again, Michael O'Neill would be an extremely underwhelming appointment. Ewan Grant, of course, who was doing co-hosting duties on the last episode, saying that he thinks O'Neill's a safe enough appointment. It's meh, not expecting big things, but importantly, it's not a continuation of the Omni shambles. I think another point that made me laugh as well, seeing a couple of folk debate whether or not he was going to come in, saying if his name was like Mikhail O'Neilio, folk would be lauding him and being excited for him to come in. It's the fact that he's a standard British manager that I think you're right. I think there's a lot of us wanting to break the grain and go out and get a fresh approach, as Kaiser says, in going in that continental route. Comes with risk, but potential rewards, as we've seen when we've exploited that in terms of the players on the transfer market.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things as well. We've always tried to pitch ourselves in the past sort of decade, a club that's tried to break the normal cycle. You know, we've tried to split the top two. We've, you know, tried to do something and get in Europe. We've tried to, you know, bring in like a sort of very sort of standard player trading model and whatnot. And I don't know why we're not willing to put that into the managerial search as well. I mean, really, I mean, it's what do we have to lose, really? They perform kind of badly. We get a new manager. We've done that for the past 3 years now. So it's, you know, it's no different to what we've been doing. It's not like we've, you know, if we're in a period where we had decades and decades of stability and consistent success and all of a sudden went, right, we're going to appoint this random Kazakhstan under-17s youth football manager because he plays a three at the back in possession football or whatever. You know, it's nothing too out of the ordinary other than a name and maybe some ideas that aren't just hoofball and lucky strikers.
Yeah, and, you know, speaking back to the compensation that Michael O'Neill could come with, Barry Reid saying if we're willing to pay that sort of money for a manager, which I think we need to, is what he says, I wouldn't be spending it on O'Neill. So, again, probably a point that some people would pick up on. If we're willing to spend a lot of money on a compensation package for Michael O'Neill, could we be pushing the boat out for other managers out there within that sort of remit? Again, obviously, the Aberdeen rumour mill was going into overdrive at the fact that Darren Ferguson was staying at the Village on Saturday night, not just maybe the fact that he was up visiting friends, who knows, but we're at that point. I was at Gary Neville's thing at the Music Hall a few weeks back, and Ryan Crichton, who was hosting it, said that you could see folks' heads turning and phones coming out, probably tweeting the fact that Gary Neville's in Aberdeen, is he the next Aberdeen manager? You know, just that the simple sight of a footballer or someone related to football is sending Aberdeen WhatsApp and Twitter into overdrive at this moment in time. But before we get into the game coming up at the weekend, I guess, you know, it's pretty clear we're not going to see an appointment now on Monday night. Peter Leaven looks set to take charge ahead of the weekend's game against Ross County. Would now be the best time to just leave Peter Leaven to it between now and Saturday, given what's going on in terms of the importance of the result this weekend?
Yeah, I think, in my opinion, you should probably just leave him to it. I think it's, with the importance of the game, you're trying to limit as much outside distraction on the squad as you can. And, you know, you could look at it on the flip side and say, if there's a new manager coming in, well, everyone's going to be playing for a shirt. But, you know, we tried to argue that with Warnock and then it fell apart. So, I would like to think, if they weren't appointing them a new manager basically bang at the start of the international break. There's no point in appointing one right now. By all means, sign a contract and stuff, but just sort of leave him behind the scenes and then just ease into it, assess the playing squad and whatnot. I suppose it's the same as everyone's saying on Twitter. It's a little bit concerning. It seemed like when Warnock was gone, the new manager was there. Ink was on the paper and ready to go. And the more it's gone on, the more it just seems like we were nowhere near having anyone signed. Like, it just seems to have gone on too long at this point.
Yeah, and I guess we just want a bit of honesty from the board. It kind of makes the whole thing's kind of made us look a bit foolish, whether that's the board, the fans, and everything else associated with the club right now. But I think given how much is riding on the game on Saturday, I would certainly be happy to see Peter Leaven remain in charge. I don't think he wants the gig on a full-time basis anyway, but it's almost too risky to bring in a new manager in the next few days and see him almost rip up what's been put in place ahead of the game. And I kind of wonder as well if there isn't a managerial appointment between now and the weekend. Obviously, of course, again, playing on the Michael O'Neill factor is that could we see him come in on Wednesday after, of course, the game at Hampden tomorrow night? Is could we appoint another manager, but they just take a watching brief for the game on Saturday? Because again, lose that and it becomes squeaky bum time.
Yeah, and I suppose it's the confidence thing as well. If you've got a manager coming in, especially if we do end up going down the route of a sort of young manager that's new to Scottish football, maybe not used to the sort of hostility of what occurs with bad results. If they're in before County and we get beat, 2-0, instantly they'll have, everybody on their back, not even just us, they'll have the media, everybody sort of having little jibes at them. So I think it's probably safer for us just to sort of stick with Peter at the moment. And to be honest, after the Motherwell game, you might as well. It's nothing too disastrous went on.
Yeah, no, I would pretty much agree with that summary on Peter, and I guess a couple of other things just to pick up as we move into the Ross County preview. Scott M saying, "Can I try and convince the head coach of Rijeka that the rain won't mess up his hairstyle too much?" I've actually got a new mattifying moisturiser to try out to reduce the shine on the forehead. So if that goes well, I can maybe recommend that to him once he if he comes over. And obviously, the game this weekend, Phil, huge game. Maybe folk feel we're building up too much. I don't know. But David McLennan saying, if we win against Ross County, we don't actually need to rush into an appointment, given we would then produce a 6-point gap, potentially 7, given the goal difference, depending the way you want to look at it. Do you think a win on Saturday does give us a little bit more of a cushion to take that time in appointing a new manager?
Not really, in my opinion. I think we're wanting as much stability as we can, because like this season's a write-off. We've all kind of agreed it's a write-off. It's mainly just us staying up and seeing what we can potentially do in the cup. So I think we need as much stability as we can going into next season, and I think that starts with getting somebody in sort of as soon as logistically makes sense. Like I said, we thought Warnock was going to be assessing the squad in full, which looks like didn't really happen. But hopefully whoever's in next, it gives them the time to assess it, gives them the time to give the potentially new director of football a short list of players that would work under their system, and really just get the wheels sort of turning on next year. Because this season really is just sort of dead at this point.
Yeah, and I think kind of going back to what Warnock said is that any new manager needs time to assess the squad. So I get where David's coming from in the fact we maybe don't need to rush into an appointment, but I would still like to see an appointment made before the end of the season so that they can come in and see what they've got and what needs added come the summer.
Well,
But
you would like to think as well that it's not really a rush, because you would like to think that if the board had any sort of brain cell between them, that they would have been on the ball with looking for a new manager than that the Robson went, and they knew that they were going to be bringing in Warnock as an interim. So what would that have been now? Probably close to 2 months, is it?
Well, you're maybe about, well, what since Robson left, or well, pretty much the same time anyway, isn't it? So it's about a month and a half. So yeah,
Month and a
but
half, yeah.
I mean, even still, like we've said on the show as well about Robson's kind of writing was on the wall after Ross County in January. So the long-term vision, what is that from the club? Where is the kind of sight from the board? Were they just hoping Robson was going to magically turn it around? Were they hoping Warnock was going to wave a magic wand and things were going to be right? It almost just seems that they just put somebody in place and pray and hope for the best, and there's no kind of long-term planning. But there was a tweet today, and I guess kind of depending what way you are on the managerial situation, if you want us to rush, if you don't, Keza1903 tweeted out this morning. He says, "I'm bored of our manager situation now. Not excited, optimistic, or even arsed, really. Uncertainty doesn't sell, and I suppose with the predicament our team is in right now in the league, it seems a right job getting anyone to say yes." And I think it's that apathy just now. The longer it's dragged out, fans, every time my name comes out, it's like, oh, well, that's not who I was hoping for, or oh, well, it's not a unanimous kind of support for any potential new manager at this stage. But the uncertainty, as Kieran says, doesn't sell, and that starts this weekend because it's a huge game as Ross County come to town, and a game, Phil, we absolutely must take 3 points in.
Yeah, no, I mean, just going back to that initial point, I think it is apathy, and I think that's, we've said it before, it's the overarching theme of this season, as we've all felt apathetic for far too much of it. But I mean, I was out on Saturday, and I don't know if it's because I'm occasionally on here with you or what. Someone that came up and went, "Oh, Phil, you're in the know. Who's the next manager?" I was like, I couldn't even pluck a guess. I went, whoever I guess, it'll be miles away from it. So it's at the point now where I can't even go, "Oh, there's this random obscure manager in Norway that's done all right," because God knows who it'll be.
Yeah, I don't know if you're the same at work as being one of the main token Aberdeen fans, or the you know, the everyone's, who do you think is going to be the next manager? Who'd your choice be? I think I was asked that about twice today, and I honestly couldn't tell you who I want to be the next manager, let alone who I think it would be, because there isn't a name currently that's not ruled themselves out that jumps out and makes me want to get behind them right now. Whoever it is, you know, ultimately will most likely get behind them. I say, depending who it is, because of course Neil Lennon's still unemployed at this moment in time. But right now, no name gets me excited.
No, and that was exactly what I was saying on Saturday to the guys. It was just sort of a thing where it was, there's nothing really. I did see people bandying around Ronny Deila, and it was like, yeah, okay, I'll laugh to you beat Celtic and do the Ronny roar at our end handed, but at the same time, he struggled with a Celtic team, because that was the season we should have won the league. He's clearly, like I said, I've not actually looked at Club Brugge's record for the season, but he's clearly not been up to par for them in a league which, again, is very much sort of dominated by two or three teams. So, yeah, there's no one really that sort of makes you rub your hands and go, "Oh, that would be like if we pulled that off, that'd be great." And I think as well, it's because we know that anyone that's on that caliber is it's really probably career suicide almost for them to come to us in this state. We're like the UK at the Eurovision these days.
I can't wait for your tweets at Eurovision. It's nearly that time, Phil. What a time
Almost
to be
there,
alive.
almost there.
Yes. Oh, that's going to be so much fun. But yeah, Ronny Dylan, I mentioned the same thing as well as work today. A Danny Ward recall and Lee Griffiths scoring dragged him to a league title, which he made look very difficult. And obviously, Tom Rogic as well. But even that name doesn't excite me, and you know, especially to go back to when people say, "Oh, just foreign managers are getting certain fans excited." It's not doing anything for me just now. But I think it's, as you say, it's because of what he did at his time in Celtic. You know, at this rate, Don Cowie, if he comes down to Pittodrie and wins, folk will start touting his name. That's
Yeah.
the nature of football.
No, exactly. I'm surprised Paul Hartley has not been suggested by Richard Gordon yet. That's the biggest
Oh,
shock, I thought.
don't know. They're not even 10 feet. Looking ahead to the weekend, then, what do you think Peter Leaven does in terms of a starting lineup for Aberdeen? Is it a lineup that goes out and takes the game to Ross County from the start? Of course, us being the home team, looking at Ross County themselves, they've sold out their initial allocation. I think this is also the first time we'll see the flexible away end, we'll call it. Section R's being used as well for home fans, so potential to see a big crowd from both sides.
Yeah, no, I think they'll be interested to see how he lines up. I think it'll be very much the same as has been with sort of 4-5-1. And I can't really see there being much change in the team, whether he maybe takes Barron out for the likes of Polvara, maybe. But I can see us being unchanged. I would like to think he's going to take it to County, because County is one of those teams where they will just sit in unless they concede. And then they'll sort of come out a little bit. So I think it's kind of vital to try and get off the mark quickly. Because that, I mean, that's a game they want to come and play, especially in a game as sort of high stakes as it's going to be. So I would like to think, even if we are just starting with one up front, that we are kind of, because I mean, some of our play around the box against Motherwell I thought was brilliant with McGrath and stuff. So I would like to see us sort of try and get on that front foot. And again, I suppose a lot of it's to try and build confidence as well. If we can get the likes of Clarkson and McGrath and Duke sort of having intricate little sort of play around the box and taking on their man, that would suit me.
Yeah, I guess the hope, of course, is of course that those players that are still away on international duty, you mentioned Conor Barron, Jamie McGrath, Bojan Miolski, of course, we talked about earlier, come back fully fit, because of course we're doing this on Monday night, so there are still a couple of games to play for some of these players as well. So, we've got to keep the faith that everybody comes back fully fit, raring to go at the weekend. I totally agree though about the taking the game to Ross County, because it's a game where I think for the crowd's sake as well, we can't afford to be about the half hour mark nil nil, stray passes, missed chances, nervy at the back, because that then filters into the crowd. And I'm sure as much as the Red Shed and the rest of the stands at Pittodrie will continue to be behind the team throughout, there will be the occasion, if there's a loose pass or cheap possession giveaway, that moans and groans will start. And the longer that game goes on at nil-nil, the louder those groans arguably get. And I just wonder, as much as we speak about Aberdeen wanting to start the game on the front foot and positively, what do you think Don Cowie's approach is to this? Sit in and frustrate, or look to come out and maybe hit us on a bit on the counter-attack early on?
See, it's tough because they've got a couple of quality players going forward. And I think that's where they're slightly different to what they were potentially sort of last season under Malky Mackay. They're not just relying on Jordan White winning knockdowns and hoping somebody's going to be there. They've got like Simon Murray, who I think scored a couple goals in recent games.
Yeah,
So he
Eamon
seems to
Brophy as
sort of,
well.
yeah, and he obviously quick forward as well for getting him behind. Jan Danda, obviously he's on his way at Hearts. He can sort of really pull the strings in the middle for them. But I'm tending to think, and I think it's just going off of what they tend to do when they come to Pittodrie, is I can see it being a sit-in. And I think it's because, like you described, they know what the atmosphere's like. If they can sit in, and the longer it stays at nil-nil, the more that's sort of in their favour, and the more likely it is that the frustration is going to seep into the Aberdeen team and they're going to start forcing things, and that's when they're going to get their opportunities to hit us on the break. So yeah, I can see it being a little bit of a sticky game as it oftentimes is.
And speaking just there about Eamon Brophy and Simon Murray, when you say defenders are quick for getting in behind, I suddenly got PTSD to the St Johnstone game and their long balls over the top of Stephen Gartman. And obviously, that is a big weak point of his game that we've seen so far. I just wonder if that's something that County potentially look, if they'd look to sit in and frustrate, they know. Angus McDonald hasn't exactly proved himself to be the quickest in terms of turning and getting back either. Stefan's not exactly covered himself in glory all the time as well. Could that be an exploit? Jan Danda, very creative player, quality in terms of what he can provide. they've got that little bit of pace. That's certainly, I'm sure, something that County will be looking to exploit.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's definitely, I mean, even looking at Roos and goal, I mean, you know, a few seasons ago, County, I think, probably had the most, maybe other than Livy, probably the most set piece goals. And, you know, if they do what St Johnstone did and target somebody onto Roos to sort of pin them on his line, not that he really needs to be pinned anyway. But, you know, if they kind of, like you say, exploit the sort of lack of pace we've got with McDonald and the sort of erratic nature of Gartman at times, and then pairing that in with the Roos's reluctance to sort of command his box. Even if they are sounding like Sir Jordan White up front, it could be a little bit of a long afternoon for the sort of spine of that team.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think, though, from an Aberdeen point of view, as much as our defence is maybe dodgy, we've got players that have quality. We've just yet to see it on a consistent basis. As I said, I think that goal against Motherwell will do Leighton Clarkson the world of good. Junior Hoylett not involved with Canada, so he's had a chance to stay and train and maybe get a bit more familiar. A player that possesses a lot of quality. For me personally, I would like to see on set pieces a lot more, certainly from corners. Let's see what he can bring. I'd also be tempted to start Duke as well. Personally, just with the directness and I think that physicality and pace that he can bring, could potentially disrupt County in the early stages, and then you bring on your more technical players at the end. Because sometimes I think this season when we've thrown on Duke when the game's nil-nil, it's not really suited his style. Whereas when he first joined us, that was suiting him. It's unfortunately, for one reason or another, not this season. So I'd be tempted to start him. I wonder as well, a player that's not been getting many minutes recently as well, depending, of course, on the fitness of some of those involved in international football, could we see Dante Polvaro feature from the start, as you mentioned as well, a player being made for big games this season?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'd like to see Polvara going in. Like I said, I think Barron's been a little bit sort of off the ball a little bit in the past few games. And I think Polvara shows out, I mean, especially, like I say, if we do look to start Hoylett and Duke, Polvara's showed himself to be quite a good sort of deep lying playmaker. You know, he likes to play that ball in the channel quite often. So I think if that's the way we're going, I would much prefer to see Polvara, and it also gives us that bit more physicality in the middle as well. I sometimes find, or even at times against Motherwell, because the likes like Theo Bear, you know, he's quite a big lad. If the ball was pinged up to the halfway line, you know, Barron and even sometimes Shinny sort of struggled with it. So like having that added sort of height in there can somewhat nullify it slightly. But no, I'm with you in the fact I'd like to see Hoylett playing. I think I put something up the other week saying that he's probably the best crosser of the ball we've got. Some of the balls he plays into the box are wicked. I think, you know, it's probably just a timing aspect of not being familiar with the sort of runs that Miovski and that's playing. But I mean, some of his balls are bang on the money, and he just needs someone there to pick them out. So yeah, hopefully see him getting a run out from the start as well.
Yeah, and I think, with both Duke and Junior Hoylett, they provide a lot of directness. And you look back to the St Mirren game, that first hour, how threatening both of them looked down the wing, and some of the play we had in that game. We just won't speak about the last half hour. They can hurt teams, and with the greatest respect to Ross County, St Mirren are of a higher quality than Ross County this season. So you'd like to think we could exploit that, and I'm just hoping that this is the game that Boyan gets back onto the goal trail as well, because of course we've got big games coming up. Every game feels like a big game just now, in fairness. And I think for his confidence going into the run-in, if you want to call it that, not only will be aided, of course, by his international goal, as we said, but will be helped if he gets on the score sheet domestically too.
Oh, definitely. Like I said, I mean, him and Duke, the pair of them, I think you would probably describe as confident strikers. You know, when they're on form, when they're, you know, feeling like they can do anything, you almost expect them to score from anywhere within 30 yards of the goal. So I think it's try to get if we can get both of them firing, you know, we'll be fine going into the tail end of the season. It's the longer the pair of their goal drought goes on. and we're not really producing goals from elsewhere, it gets a little bit nervy.
Yeah. One final thing then, Phil, before we wrap up the episode. Does 3 points on Saturday end all relegation chat?
No, because it's us, and I don't feel confident enough to say yes. I know what we can be like over the years. So no, I think it makes it more comfortable, and I think hopefully that eases the players a little bit, and sort of makes them feel like there's that little bit of buffer, to sort of kick on a little bit. Obviously, Livy's for the most part a write-off. I can't see them. I just don't see them having the quality in their squad to change anything. Obviously, like we're saying, with this weekend being important, it's County that's the worry.
Yeah. I think it's
So
also funny. I think, it got mentioned on a couple of episodes ago that, of course, nobody's speaking about St Johnstone, who have fallen into there as well. So I guess maybe one to keep an eye on, of course, if we win, if St Johnstone fail to win this weekend, then it could be them that Ross County target and not us, because, there's two teams quite close to them. But I probably do agree with you that not quite yet.
Yeah,
To put that
it's the
chat.
Aberdonian. It's Aberdonian
Yeah.
pessimist. It's an Enniskillen. That's a problem.
Yeah. What a place to leave it on. Phil, thank you very much for once again ably stepping into the co-host chair. The rest of these episodes between now and the end of the season will continue on a Monday night at 7, because it is such a popular slot here, and so many of you do continue to tune in. It does mean that Callum is unlikely to be here on a Monday night due to his working schedule, so he'll only make the midweek games. So between Phil and possibly Jay and anybody else that wants to step up into that co-host chair, they'll be ably joining me between now and the end of the season. But thank you very much, Phil, for joining in on this episode, and thank you very much to those of you that tuned in live here on YouTube. Remember to like the video, subscribe if you haven't done so, and follow on audio.
Sports Social Podcast Network.